Hello and welcome to episode 4 of Oh Brother, a podcast about Salford / Manchester's legendary and much missed musical institution, The Fall. Each week we invite along a guest to chat about their experience and memories of the group. If you're wondering who we are, it's me, Paul Lanley, and my brother Steve, who as you probably know was a member of The Fall for 20 years. You can find us at all the usual suspects, of course, but we're hosted at play.acast.com/s/oldbrother. Hope you enjoy it. Okay, welcome to the latest episode of Old Brother, a podcast about The Fall. Today we're very delighted, that's me and Steve. Say hello, Steve.
Hello.
Right, oh, don't go mad, will you? Right, we're delighted today to speak to Mr. Ed Blaney, who was part of the band off and on for nigh on 16, 17 years, I think. We'll get to the exact numbers in a bit. So the first thing I want to say to you, Ed, and thanks very much for coming on, I was listening to an interview with you the other day, and you were at pains to kind of point out that you weren't in the band. So do you think that was the reason that it worked so well for you, that you never actually were in the band full time?
Yeah, and any time I kind of stuck my foot in that room, I thought, fuck this. And either it, I wasn't putting up with any of that fucking shit in the Zoom.
I thought you played guitar for a while.
I did, yeah, I did. I mean, I wrote quite a bit and co-produced. And steered it all and everything. But as for like being a band member, no, I couldn't. I kind of was, but not in the sense of that's all I did. And you just turned up and
probably for the best.
Yeah.
Hey.
Probably for the
so
best.
So how did you get involved then with Mark?
Well, do you remember JR?
Yes, I do. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Right, who's JR? You don't mean the guy from Dallas, do you?
Definitely not. No, John Rollison from Prestwich. He gave Mark one of my first demos, and it was done with Martin Price from 808 State and Mark Day. He was like on gardening leave from the Mondays at the time, and Mark really liked it, and he offered us a gig. My first ever gig was at the Roadhouse for one of the album launches in 1994.
Right, well, you'd have been about then, Steve.
He used to come to my gigs and that, and... Yeah,
you were around when I was in it then.
Yeah, you would have done that gig then at the Roadhouse.
Yeah,
that
album launch for Light User Syndrome, what probably?
Yeah, and then we supported you there. Trigger Happy, we supported you at the Hacienda in '96. You were definitely there for that.
Yes, yeah, not a great gig if I remember it right.
Why is that?
No, well, we blew up your amp, didn't we? We refused your amp. You lent us your amp, and then. I don't think that helped, did it?
I bet that didn't go around very well.
I think that was the first gig without Craig.
Right.
After Craig had gone, it wasn't very good.
Well, you only had one guitar?
We just got mates and that. And then he said to me, do you want a tour manager? So I said, okay, as long as my band can have the London gig and a couple of others and the one in Dublin. And he said, yeah. And it went really well. And then... the night before Dublin, as usual, he had an argument with the band, or they had an argument with him, and they rang me up just giving me loads of shit, saying, you can fuck off, we're going back to London, we've had enough. And it was that Unutterable lineup, and it sounded great in the rehearsal room. And I tried my best to say, look, you know, I understand, but there's like grown-up men crying, but they wasn't having it. And then so I had 8 hours to sort it out, and I said to my band, look, we're still going, but we're not playing. You've got 8 hours to learn the set. You're in The Fall, and that was it. Fucking as mad as the times you've probably seen and that.
Wow.
You know, we got on and we didn't get on and stuff like that. And I fucked off, came back, and we had that space. And I was always doing stuff behind the scenes. And then came back as it offered me the management thing then, which I turned him down. And then I said, I'll just do it, you know, pay as you go sort of thing and see how we go.
Right. Like you said, it's probably a good way to do it, isn't it? I think if you're not reliant on it, it becomes a bit less stressful.
Well, you know, it was and that money was like at that time 2000 when I really got involved. He was skint. It was hard getting gigs, semi unbookable at the time with promoters. The promoters, it had come right off the rails, but a lot of hard work and the band was all right.
That was the time to step in, that, wasn't it? Fair play. You got it back on its tracks again, didn't you? Between you.
Yeah. One he did, but you know, the first thing he did was change the rider. the whiskey's got to go for the start. And he worked with me for quite a lot of it. So effectively, he was kind of bringing three quarters of my band in and then just working with it. And, you know, he'd tell me to fuck off and all that. You know, get out. You know, you're not in the band and all that. But sometimes, just I didn't realise till after they died and that. You know, he used to say, I'm only saying it in front of them. But at the time, it was like, fuck that. No, you know.
Yeah.
Talking like that. Yeah.
So I read a really good quote from you the other day. It was about you went to see Bob Dylan and a couple of things. And you rang Mark up and said, I've just seen Bob Dylan. He's in his 70s. You need to sort it out. But what made me laugh was you described Dylan. You said, you go and see Dylan. Went to see him in the 80s and he was crap. And then I went to see him later on and he was absolutely brilliant, but he didn't do any of the songs I wanted him to do. And I thought, that sounds pretty familiar.
Yeah, you know, like, I mean, I don't really go to gigs. Which people find strange. I used to go like the International and that when that was open.
Yeah.
Seen a few weird bands, Green on Red. And I remember seeing Dylan in 85 or something. And yeah, and he's seen it. Shit.
Yeah.
Couldn't hear now. But I went to this one in Blackpool and it was completely nothing what anyone expected. And I was pissed after it. I had a drink with loads of people I didn't know. And I thought, fuck it, you know, we used to me, ring me all hours. And it was genuine, though. I said, you know, we weren't, like, working together much, but I always kept my eye out. And, I just said, you know, fucking get your shit together. Like, but he thanked me for it, though. He said, no, you're all right. But, yeah, then he used to wind me up and go, you know, we'd have a drink and go, how's your mate fucking Bobby doing? I don't know.
Brilliant. That's fun. So, the thing we always ask guests, what's the first interaction you had with the Fallen? When did you first see him?
Well, bizarrely, when I was tripping, I was about 15 years old, and it was at Glastonbury, and you was playing on one of the top fields, I can't remember what it, you know, up near the Ealing Fields and that.
What field? What year would that have been, Ned?
That would have been about 84, 85. I was only 15 or something.
You sure it was Glastonbury?
Yeah.
It can't have been 84 then, because I was in 84 and I certainly never played. I'm sure I didn't.
85, 86.
When did you first play Glastonbury, Steve?
I don't think it was kind of been Glastonbury. I think I've only played Glastonbury once, in 90s.
Sorry. It was the fucking Elephant Fair.
Yes. I remember that.
The Elephant Fair. And we went on a whim 10 minutes notice, me and my two mates with a load of older lads. And we had the best time ever.
Game, yeah.
And that was the first time I had my mate Les Fisher, an old punk. He said, you know, got to go and see the Fall and all that.
Wow.
And that was the first introduction.
Brilliant.
And then it hit the north. One of my mates was playing that in his bedroom, the 12-inch and that. And I love the line, cops can't catch criminals. And that kind of, where I was at in my life, it kind of resonated with me at the time.
Brilliant. The thing I remember about Elephant Fair, and I'm sure Jonathan Richman played, didn't he? And I can remember him crawling around the stage singing "I'm a Little Dinosaur." I'm sure that, and I'm sure I didn't make that up. He was on, wasn't he, Steve?
Jonathan Richman was on, yeah.
Yeah. Who else was on then? The Armoury Show, were they on? That seems to ring a bell. Lincoln Kwesi Johnson, possibly. But that was like the only festival I'd seen before that. Really was. Deeply Veil, which was completely different. That was kind of on the cusp where festivals were turning into pretty sort of slick professional things, weren't they then? Because they were a bit ramshackle before then, I think.
Yeah, it looked good, that Deeply Veil one.
Oh, it might have looked good from the outside. It wasn't.
It might have looked good.
Oh, it was one of them. It was Feral Kids and Veggie Burgers and, you know, it wasn't well organised, let's put it that way. Well, mine that wasn't really Deeply Veil. It was after it moved, wasn't it? The one I played. So the other thing I was going to ask you, Ed, you've got the one of the honours of The Fall doing a song that you wrote on your own, haven't they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, Mark's credited. Which one?
Rude All the Time?
Rude All the Time, yeah.
That's a Trigger Happy song, is that right?
Yeah. And the version was just upstairs in my bedroom and I was just showing it him. And then that Flitwick came along and said, we'll give you a couple of grand for two songs that have never been released. And there's that and Wake Up in the City. And we fucked up on the A and B side, so that became the A side.
Right.
And it was just messing about in the bedroom and just recorded it. It wasn't like a thing, but yeah.
You're proper going for it, though, aren't you?
Yeah. Really going for it. didn't quite get it how I wanted it, but yeah. I mean, honored. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We got on, and you know, I always say like.
I don't know if you found that, but the songs never turned out how you thought they were gonna.
No, definitely not. The only time I did was on that Wake Up in the City, and he turned up and he had his leg in plaster. He got out of a taxi, come in, and my dog was going for his foot. My dog didn't like him. Sat him down in the back room on a chair, put his leg up, and I said, here's the lyrics. Goes like this, he heard the tune. He said, just fucking speed it up. And I sang a bit, and he went, right, I've got it, all right, get out. And he did it in one take. And I wrote all the lyrics for that. And he changed one. I've got glasses under my skin. You don't know how thin I've been.
Wow.
But when we did stuff like just credited him and whatever, you know, there's a follow mind, another one. But that's exactly the same as Jerusalem, but I'd never heard Jerusalem. And believe it, I've not even, he liked me because I didn't really know much about the Fall.
Yeah, that was quite a common thing, I think, wasn't it? He liked people who weren't, you know, massive Fall fans, I think, was one of the things he looked for.
Yeah. And you know, we had a lot of arguments, but it was always for the greater good.
Yeah.
And, you know how he was working.
Yeah.
And I always say, when I'm asked about your period, I always say, well, you know, you must have got on at some point. It must have been a point where it was great.
Oh, we did, yeah.
I mean, the thing about it is, and you know, you'll know yourself, people, the reason that there's more talk of that is because that's what people ask about, isn't it? They don't ask about, what about the gigs where you got in the van, everybody went, everybody played the best, it was really good and everybody enjoyed it. No, there's no story there, is there?
Yeah, that's it. And I think if he'd have behaved, I think it was all a bit of an act.
Yeah.
In that sense, where that's what kept everyone interested. And everyone knows it was hard work when it started. And, you know, you'd have to have a thick skin to put up with, you know. And then when he was nice, he was, like, really nice and that, and generous and stuff, you know. Mm-hmm. He used to buy me gifts and things.
Yeah.
Like weird little things, and sort of bring the book round and I fucking don't read. But he used to bring them and stuff, and weird albums and that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, the Fall have always had a fucking great following, haven't they?
Yeah.
There's no other band that can touch it, you know.
No, I think that's right. I mean, like you say, I mean, it's certainly hard, it has been hard work at times, but it is that Dylan thing, isn't it? Where he'd rather do it. He'd rather be shit one night and absolutely brilliant the next than just be the same every night, you know. And I can certainly see that.
Yeah.
It's not easy,
like you're saying there, Steve, about the songs, you know. You'd nip out of the studio and it'd be like, oh, fucking hell. You spend hours on something and then it would go, it's fucking crap. Get rid of that. And then sometimes it would work and you'd think,
yeah.
Fucking hell.
It would not be how you imagined it, or it wouldn't be like what you thought could happen to that song, but yeah, it'd work.
Yeah. That's that one we did. We talked about that before. The song called Winter, and it's pretty just one note all the way through. And he wiped the drums and bass, and then made Stephen Carr go back in and play them again, but without a click track. So they just had to try and keep up. And everybody said, "Well, this is just the stupidest idea I've ever heard in my life. That's never going to work." But you hear it now, and it's like, "Wow, that's just bizarre." And it works because the song's about the fact that time doesn't work properly. So, you know, there's a lot of stuff like that where, fair play, I'd never thought of stuff like that in a million years. I don't think anybody would, except Mark.
Yeah.
But sometimes it's hard work. Like you say, you can't always see it, can you, at the time?
No, he had a knife for it. And, you know, he's always working. When we was like, you know, he'd be on the phone saying, right, you know, he hated days off.
Yeah.
We never got to have an holiday. He wanted to come on holiday with me and my kids and his mum. And it never happened. It nearly, just before he died, but I was living in Blackpool. I got an house just to write some stuff, supposedly with my band, but they didn't fucking come. And did that severance, but he was going to come. He'd never, you know, he's like, I've never... You know what it is, when you go all these places, you never get to see him much, do you?
No, not at all. So he was. That was when he was really ill, was it?
Yeah, just before, yeah. It was difficult times at the end of that, seeing him so ill and stuff.
But, you know, he carried it on, didn't he? He kept going. You got to give it.
He did, right to the end, you know, and credit to the band.
No, I think that's right. Is it like you say, even like 2000, he did really well to build it all back up again and get that band together and keep it all going.
Yeah, and it was, we had some really good times, you know what I mean? And he never came out with the band when we was out in America and stuff,
yeah,
which is probably a good thing. And he'd say, nah, you know, I fucking done it. You go out with them and that, look after them and yeah, stuff. And he was professional about it and that, you know, it yeah, was me.
You toured America, did you, with them, yeah?
Yeah. The best one was 2000 because he'd not played for years since it all went tits up, I think, and he got nicked and that. It was that long. And 2001, yeah. And it was really good because it was 10, 11 weeks after the towers had fell.
Right.
So no bands was going. The flights was dirt cheap and we flew everywhere and we had no equipment. I tried out for the support band we could use there. And so some of them had sold more records than the Fallen. It's like, fucking hell, I'd never heard of them. But they had some great gear, the bands were buzzing and that. Right. And that helped because we were flying everywhere and we didn't have all, you know, it's like lucky gear about.
Oh, yeah. Some of them drives in America are just brutal, aren't they?
Yeah. And then the other one, I just started like 2004 or something like that. I came out after it. He said, you come out in 2 weeks. And again, he was in a wheelchair. And I said, don't do it. You know what I mean? Don't do it. You don't have to do it. He had some money on something else to give him. But he said, no, I'm going to do it. You know, and he had fucking blood coming out of his leg and that at the time, staples in his hip.
Yeah.
But when I got there, he said, these lot are taking the piss. He said, you know, I've been stuck in my fucking room. And then, you know, I can't get on the stage in my wheelchair. You know the way he talked things up and that. But it was true. You know, when I got there, I thought, fucking, it's a bit of a mess. So we just did a few more shows. And then when it comes across in the desert, I said, right, sack it. You need to go home now.
Yeah.
And it was a thing to do. I don't think he'd have been right.
No. Right. Yes, I mean, he was lucky to have it in that respect then, wasn't he? Because a lot of the time, it's a difficult tightrope, isn't it, with managing. You can't tell him what to do, but then sometimes you can't do what he says either, can you? The difficult
job. Yeah, well, you know, so if we did, like, have a disagreement or whatever, or... No, I walked out a few times because I thought, fuck it. But then he'd come round and say, look, I'm sorry, you're right, you know, right, let's... Mm-hmm. And then we'd go again. But the band members as well, I mean, the band that you had was a bit more, you know, longer term. And
yeah.
You'd all... No, grown up, you know, a lot of success and everything. Yeah. And
so what line was that?
Like I'd been stabbed in the back, to be honest with you. I'm all right now about it because the longevity had been shone through. You know, yeah. I wasn't just there for the dough.
Yeah.
And the egos got involved and drugs and too much coke, which Mark went into. And then the drinking and I had to become his drinking partner. I didn't really drink post during the fall. I'm just about right now. I don't even drink now, you know. But, it was kind of weird. But I look back now and I think, you know what, it was great. And
it is tough to live in that world like that and not, you know, and yeah, not drink too much and take too much or whatever.
Yeah, and I don't hold any grudges with anyone, you know what I mean? I mean, it cuts both ways, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And I think, you know, I can't speak for your periods, like, but the one I was in and stuff, you know, we all had a great time, and I'm sure the disgruntled ex-members of my period would hopefully say the same and appreciate what they had, because you wouldn't get that with any number band.
Definitely not, no. I mean, that's kind of the reason we did this, really, because that kind of... It's a lot easier to just talk about that. If you start writing it down and you start getting interviewed by people where they don't ask about, you know, what was it really like, they want to know about this kind of cartoon, Mark, don't they?
Yeah. Yeah,
but you know, he wasn't like, he couldn't have been like that all the time. It's impossible, isn't it? You know.
Yeah. I mean, you know, and it's like he just, you know, kind of saved him in a way. You know, I mean, that's what my mates and even his mates have said. You know, but it's like, well, I had an opportunity and I took it. And,
yeah.
You know, I'm good like that, and for getting into something, and obviously it was kind of, you know, from being told. I mean, I wanted to do really well with my own band; they were really good. So it's a bit of a twist for me, a bit of an hard pill to swallow.
Yeah.
So everything I wanted to achieve with my own band, I got to do with The Fall, but yeah. I wasn't the singer. But I was, you know, he always left the door. He said, you come on when you want, do what you want, play what you want. And he respected me as a writer.
Yeah, definitely.
Which was good. Like, he'd always say to everyone, you know, I want two songs off everyone.
Yeah.
But, and I always had 20, you know, and I've never stopped writing.
Yeah.
And then they like put that one in yesterday and try and keep it balanced for everyone.
Yeah.
So that everyone got a fair crack and that.
Yeah.
I don't know how it worked with yous at the time.
It's in a similar way, I think. Yeah. I think.
Everybody had to rock up with something, didn't they?
Yeah. But yeah, similar way that. But that, people don't. I don't think people realise that about Mark. That he would give everyone a chance to write songs, yeah. And yeah. He would put his lyrics over whatever it was you came, if he could, you know, whatever you came up with, he'd put his lyrics over it.
Yeah.
And he'd do his best to make it work.
Yeah. I mean, it's great to have been a part of it, you know, it really is. For me, I look back and there's never a day or something, every other day something pops up. and it's great to talk to you two because...
It was never dull, was it?
No, it's not all bad. Let's say that they just want to talk about that side of Mark, don't they?
Yeah.
He did this, he did that, but, you know, he's very intelligent.
He was, he was. I mean, we were talking to Grant and he was saying, like, he kind of built this persona for himself and he got a bit trapped by it a little bit, you know, where people...
Yeah, that's a good point, yeah.
Because it wasn't him, was it? That Marquis Smith wasn't him. It wasn't, you know, like, he wasn't like, he wouldn't go around and see his mum and talk like, you know, it was like a persona that he used, I think. And it worked, didn't it? I mean, you know, it worked.
Yeah, well, it would have been boring, wouldn't it, if he hadn't had that and that. Some of the interviews I used to set up and I used to think, fucking hell, you know, with them coming out crying and I'd be like, oh.
He had to measure the journalists, though, didn't he? Christ, he could get him out his little finger.
Yeah, if he'd not done their own work.
Yeah.
And that was it, you know. And he was good at getting them pissed, wasn't he?
All of interviews. We meet in the pub, and he has we gets us both a pint of Alston Pills and a whiskey chaser. I was thinking, you're not going to last 10 minutes here, mate.
We wouldn't let him turn the tape recorder on until they were pissed.
It's good. I mean, I learned so much. You know what I mean? I learned so much, and that I didn't get it at first. It took me a while, but you know, then I used to just think.
It was from what I've realised since leaving, it was a one-off world to live in, yeah.
Yeah, completely. And it wasn't, you know, sometimes I had deals on the table there and I was fucking skint. I had custody of 5 kids and I needed the money. And he used to have a different deal for me on, like, stuff. And he'd say that you can have 40%. I'd be like, fucking hell, cheers, are you sure? He'd say, yeah. You know, do that. And then with the current stuff, it was like, right, okay. It's solo stuff and that. He'd look after me. But he'd turn a lot down and I'd be like, fucking hell, all you've got to do is this. And he's like, nah, I'm not doing it. You know, it's not that I'm, you know. And that was hard at the time because I thought, well, I'm trying to do my job. My job is to make money and that as well. But yeah, and then I realised that actually he's right, you know. It was probably the best thing that some of them things he turned down.
Yeah.
And that, you know, we did talk about, you know, getting you lot back together and he was up for it. You know, he was up for it. I mean.
Really?
You know,
I find that hard to believe, but.
No, you know, I had a big hand in it. I'm not going to lie, but we talked about it because there was always offers coming in of, you know, it was around that time when all the bands, the old bands, was getting back together again.
Yeah.
The original line, and they were getting big offers and stuff like that. So, he wasn't fingy to it. He was always open to anything.
That would have been an interesting conversation, wouldn't it?
Yeah. That would have been, yeah.
You know, it's hard for me to get, a lot of people got me wrong because I was taking the fall. Like, the fall guy. And having to make that phone call, and I was like, fuck, you know, you know, always got the shit.
Yeah.
And I'm a nice person, really. I'm like, I can handle myself, but some of the shit I got involved in and that, and that's still gone on since, you know what I mean? And it was like, oh, yeah, Ed did that. Oh, I fucking didn't. You told me to do it.
Brilliant.
There's one time we was in Primavera, that Primavera Festival, and it was when Dingo had... joined PJ Harvey and they was playing and we were all backstage and we had like little tents, hippie tents and that. And they were all in our dressing room and he was like, fucking, I'm not having that. He said, fucking go in and just tell them all they've got to leave. So I went in and I said, listen, I felt like coming. And I said, look, You've all got to go. And they all stood up and that. And then he walked right in. He went, just ignore him. Sent the notice.
He set you up there, didn't he?
Oh, he did it loads of times. You know, and that's one thing I'd like to say on the record. You know, I'm not as bad as the brush got painted a lot of the time.
That was your job to be the bad boy, wasn't it?
Yeah, fucking hell, you know, but he was good at it. He was, you know, he was really good. I don't know if he did it with you, but, he, you know, he did place bets on that, on who's going to have a breakdown first.
Dear me.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we had that, yeah.
But did he cheat then by making him have a breakdown, or did he just wait and see what happened?
No, he'd try and push it. He used to call it the shit list, didn't we? Who's top of it? and they'd get... Whoever it was would get a load of grief until they, yeah.
But with ideas at all, but
see how far he could push them, yeah.
He was always lighting people, I seem to remember. He used to have a right go at people who did the lights. I mean, really, really tear them a new one for, like, you know, they're not fucking real, you know. But people want to see you, you know, give them a break.
Yeah. I mean, one of the bits I enjoyed was I have nine jobs, to tell you. And then, you know, then we get shoved out. You say, go and sing this ass. I don't know the fucking words. And because of the thing of this, I'm like, I'm not doing that. Fucking go on, just do it. Just fucking. And it didn't, nine times out of ten, it didn't go down well. You know what I mean? No, someone from behind the scenes and singing. All right, if it was one of mine.
Well, that's the thing, wasn't it? Everybody there was there to see Mark E. Smith sing. Honestly, yeah, they really don't want to see.
He always made it exciting though with little stunts and that, and you know, it always and like Kieran and that, you know, they lasted quite a long time.
Yeah,
In terms of band members and stuff, and they did some good stuff, and you know, it's just a shame, isn't it? But you know, I remember
they must have been hard for them lads at the end.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. You know, and they're trying to carry on in that with their own thing, which is great.
It is.
Rather than around moping, you know.
Yeah.
And he was good at winding people up, wasn't he? So, unfortunately, I've inherited some of that. And I have to clap my own head sometimes, you know, because you just come out with it the same sort of humour he had, and it was sick at times, wasn't it? You know?
Yeah. I think we've all inherited a bit of that humour. Yeah, it does.
Oh, aye. Well, yeah. You had to, really, didn't you? Otherwise, you'd be talking shit.
What happened with you then, Steve?
We had that big fight on stage in New York.
That was it then? That was it, yeah.
There was no way back from there, really, was there?
That tape.
There's no surface. Going back.
The videotape surfaced for that.
Yeah, and, it's out there, yeah. Yeah,
we was offered £20,000 for it,
really?
And he said no, and I was like, "Fucking hell!" And this was another one of them times, and he ended up giving it the BBC when they were doing that documentary.
The documentary, yeah.
We kind of fell out halfway through it, but I managed to make it.
I'd like to think I'd get my share.
Yeah, but you know, I thought, "Fucking hell, £20,000 for a VHS tape? No, it's gonna." Surface anyway,
checks
in the post.
Yeah, well, it's all over bleeding YouTube now, so he might as well have got the £20,000.
Yeah, but that's what he was like, and you know, I didn't understand that at the time, but like later on. But I didn't know that was your last thing of it.
That was my last gig, yeah.
So, and yeah, we had some arguments, but in general, you know, we had some great times, and we were mates first and foremost.
Yeah,
me and him.
Yeah,
and we were, like if he was down, he'd phone me up. And vice versa, he was there when I got divorced, or if I'd fallen out with one of my girlfriends, and you know, give me good advice and stuff like that.
Yeah,
and work both ways, and a lot of people don't hear about that.
No, you never hear about it. Well, I mean, you know, if someone brings you up and says, "Can I ask you about the fall? You know, what happened here? What happened there?" Then they write the story as if it was, well, you asked the question. You know, people don't People don't want to know about a band that works well, and a bit more now, I think.
Yeah.
I think it's getting a bit more now. I think the Fall are finally being appreciated for what they are, I think, now.
Yeah, and I think as well, I mean, you know, he used to say to me, I've seen every trick in the book, and he could see when band members were starting to wobble and stuff like that. And you know, that must have been some weight on his shoulders, 40 years of that.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah. Wow. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It would take its toll.
It's some responsibility to carry that.
Yeah, and keep going. And he did. He did almost give up a couple of times. He said, "You know what? I fucking had enough." And then he'd say, "Are you up for it? Hey, we're going to give it another push."
Yeah.
You know, real like that and the other, and he'd come back again. But yeah, I mean, what you know, a weight to carry,
yeah.
And that. Even though when he was acting a goat himself, and then everybody else was, bit, you know. That lineup I looked after with an usher, but God, that was hard. You know, we pulled up in the seaside town near down hallway that way, and Jesus Christ, we opened the door and it was like a load of gorillas escaping from the zoo, and they were just off in different directions, and it's like, fuck, you know. I had a rash on my face with the stress of it, and he was actually well behaved then. It was just like, fuck, you know. So I thought, Jesus, to look after that, you know.
Yeah.
When everyone's out and that, you know, unbelievable. But so credit to him and that, you know. And
definitely.
It's a long story, isn't it? You know, and I'm glad I was part of it for when I was, and we used to have some fucking great times.
Yeah, yeah.
As well off the stage, you know.
I mean, at the end of the day, it's quite a badge, isn't it, to say you were in the Fall. It's not like being in, you know, I was in a band for 2 years or whatever. Or the Fall's slightly different, I think. And I think people realise that now.
Your periods, you know, you achieved loads, you know what I mean? It was like massive, you know, it was a different thing in the 80s and 90s, wasn't it?
It was,
completely different.
Like I say, they started making money when I left, didn't you, Steve?
What's that?
You said you started making money when I left.
Just as soon as you left, yeah.
Not because I left.
As soon as we got that handsome drummer in.
Thank you.
I only remember the really good, because we had more good times than bad.
Yeah.
And we kind of had a telepathy thing where even if we didn't speak for a month or two, we knew what was going on, but he knew I'd be there, not in a piss-taking way. I'd step in if it needed to, you know, or I'd just be totally honest with him and stuff. And he admired me for doing my own thing.
Yeah.
Which I've always done. Until lockdown.
Yeah, of course. What a strange time this must have been for, if you're, you know, with gigs and what have you. They just dropped off a cliff, haven't they?
Well, we was in my band. We had three tracks to finish in Berlin. And we come back March the 5th last year. And then I tried doing the internet stuff and I couldn't do it.
Right.
Sending it here and it's like, you know, but so we're just, I'm not, and then now I'm thinking, I'm not even asked. It's like, you know, who wants to really buy a fucking brand new album right now? People just want to get their own lives together.
Yeah,
you know, and there's no rush. I'm looking more forward to next year.
Yeah.
Rather than rushing out. And obviously it's hit me hard losing, I've got a pub outside Everton's ground. And did mobile bars and just events in general. But yeah, you know, I think there's more to life than money and stuff.
You've
just got, you know, I mean, down the allotment today, that's why I was late, because I was like finishing the shed off down there. But I've been enjoying it and it's good, and it's like, it's a bit weird. It's like, fucking hell, I'm not checking my social media, and it's like, you know, I feel miles better.
Yeah.
Janice Long's a pretty good mate. Turned into a good mate with my music and that, which is good.
Brilliant.
But yeah, I'm just not taking it so serious. And we all know how it is with money.
So what are your plans then for the future music?
We'll finish this album and that. I've got a guy called David Scott who lives in Jordan. And so just send it him, and he's really good. We get on well. And I'm probably looking for a room now in the next couple of weeks where we can just set up and just go in, and probably need to redo, record five songs and then put it out. Mate, who knows, you know, no rush. Like I said, I just think it's all gone tits up, and I think people have got more.
And what about the Salford Festival? That was great, that festival.
Yeah, it's loads of people are registering again now and this and that. And I always just pull it together within a matter of a month or something. So I'm just waiting. And it's never, I'd love it to be in Beulah Park, but, you know, it's financially, they just don't, nobody wants to know, because it's never been a commercial festival.
Yeah.
So one of the slogans was, we hope to lose money, but we've always put on new music and had a couple of well-known acts, and it works. Engineers, photographers, all up and coming stuff,
yeah.
People get breaks. So we're going to sit out this summer and then see where we're at. The guy we do it with, he's really good on tech.
Yeah.
But I'm not into the streaming thing. I just think, you know what, I think people have had enough of streaming now.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Maybe we'll do 50-50 or something, you know. Yeah. It was good because you can get all the art. Everyone, all the big artists was fucking gasping for some air, weren't they? Like,
yeah, of course.
Couldn't handle it. It's the only good thing, I think, about lockdown. A lot of people have had reality checks.
Yeah.
And realised the world doesn't just revolve around them.
Yeah.
So he was getting loads of back. Like, yep, we'll do it. And now it's keeping back to that, you know, do you know who I am? And can we have this? And we need a guarantee and stuff. And it's like, well, you know. I mean, the good thing with Mark, Mark always supported it. And was all, when he didn't play, he was helping do it. And when he did play, he donated his fee. And without that, we couldn't have done it. You know, we couldn't have paid the bills.
Yeah.
So it's always been an uphill struggle. Told me interested, but I will do it again, this year.
Brilliant.
Just don't know what format. But doing it in pubs and all the clubs, not got many left in Salford and the Lowry or whatever, it's great because you don't have any shit with the weather. And especially before COVID, I was getting loads of shit about the terrorism thing and I thought, oh, fuck it, then we're not going to do it in a park.
Right.
We'll just do it in a pub and venues again. And now it's going to be a load of shit about health and safety with COVID.
Yeah.
So I don't know what you think about it, whether you think gigs will go on properly this year or what.
I'm not so sure. I'm not so sure this half capacity will work. I think you're taking away what makes a gig great, mate, when you've got 100 people stood 2 metres away from each other. It's difficult to get the atmosphere of a proper gig, isn't it?
Yeah, I think a lot of people have bought tickets for, like, Parklife, for instance, 120,000 tickets, and it's like, how's that going to work? You know?
How's that going to work?
Yeah, but, like, I just think people aren't understanding that when they do open up a bit, it's still going to be with this condition and with that. And it's going to be a big, hopefully not, sound like an right old fucking daughter, but hopefully it is going to be open, but just, you know, for me, I'm just looking more to next year, before April, next year before we do it.
Hopefully by then, touch wood, we'll be back to normal, won't we? Christ,
we might get playlisted on Salford City Radio. But no, we've been getting quite a bit of radio abroad, and Janice Long plays us quite a bit, which is good. And it helps, doesn't it? You get a bit of money, them checks and that, you know. You know what pisses me off? You know, when you don't pay because it's under 50 quid. And you think, just send it. We're in the middle of a pandemic, you fucker. Send it. You
know. Give us a...
I've been on £49.50 for the last 2 years.
That old magic thing and that. But, you know, hey, just be optimistic and that. And
yeah.
You know, I'm glad all my family are all right. The kids are absolutely fine.
That's what it's all about in the end, isn't it?
You know, it hit me hard. I found it hard at the start. I went from earning £4,000 a month to living on £300 a month. And I built it up over years. And that was hard.
I bet.
And didn't really... Any savings what I've had are like running low.
Yeah.
So if you don't know who needs a DJ or help, you know, give us a shout.
Right.
I'm only messing. You know, it could be worse, I think, you know.
Yeah. Right, well... That's brilliant, Ed. Really good to talk to you.
Oh, man, that's so good.
Brilliant. I'm glad you're keeping up with it all. And, it'd
be good to have a pint anyway.
Oh, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Definitely.
Definitely.
I'll bring one of them in my wrestling machines.
Right, you're on.
And,
100 each arm.
Sounds like a plan.
Thanks for joining us on Old Brother. Episodes are released every second Wednesday, so you can watch your episode 5 in 2 weeks' time. Please follow us on Twitter, at Old Brother Show, where you can subscribe via iTunes, Stitcher or RSS, so you'll never have to miss an episode. While you're at it, give us a rating on iTunes or tell your friends about us. You could also check out our books, The Bid Midweek and Have a Bleeding Guess, both available from Root Publishers and all good bookstores. Hope to see you again soon, and remember, if you're driving, take your car.